broadcasting live from atop the Rocky Mountains, the crossroads of the West. You are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
All right. Happy to have you along, my fellow Americans. Sam Bushman and Kurt Crosby live on your radio. Hard-hitting news the network refused to use, no doubt, starts now. This, my fellow Americans, is the broadcast for July the 2nd in the year of our Lord, 2020. This is our one of two and our goal always to protect life, liberty, and property and to promote God, family, and country on your radio and the traditions of our founding fathers. We use the blueprint for liberty, the supreme law of the land, the Constitution for the United States of America as our guide. And absolutely, we're convinced the checks and balances brilliantly put in place by the founding fathers, one of the great peaceful restorative solutions we have at our fingertips. As you know, we reject revolution. We stand for peaceful restoration of the greatest, and I mean the greatest country on the face of the earth. Welcome to Liberty Roundtable Live, LovingLiberty.net, our nationally syndicated radio network. Spread the word, live and on-demand radio 24/7, online at LovingLiberty.net, as well as the Android and iPhone apps available at your fingertips. It's all free, but if you want to help out the sacred cause of liberty, donate liberally. It's the only time we believe in liberalism. Donate liberally today, would you please? A quick recap of yesterday, and then we'll launch right into the news the networks refuse to use, as always. Conservatives are turning against Chief Justice John Roberts after his Supreme Court siding. The justice sided with the liberals. Or I should say sided, I'm sorry, with the liberals. In a monumental abortion ruling. And I don't really like the fact that they're saying we're turning against Roberts. We're standing on principle and we don't like the way he voted. But that doesn't mean we're turning against anybody. He did turn on the principles of liberty, though. He did a double down in pro-death as opposed to pro-life, which was his proper necessary role. And we're concerned about that. But we're not turning against anybody. We are simply standing on principle. Kent, that's an author for Breitbart, writes, Trump's foreign policy threatens military generals who prefer the status quo. Amen. Good work. President Trump is doing quite a good job there. We need more, no doubt, or I should say less in terms of war. But President Trump is not as hawkish as many others and is trying to roll things back. He's surrounded by too many military personnel. The military-industrial complex is part of the deep swamp and live and well. But President Trump trying to rein in some of that. And I say good for Kent to highlight that reality check. No doubt about it. Netflix, believe it or not, moving $100 million to, quote, empower black banks. And I didn't know banks knew the difference between black and white. I thought they simply, you know, took care of citizens' financial needs. I didn't know banks were racial. What if I had a white bank? Can a white guy go to a black bank? What do black banks do different than white banks? I didn't know we had such a thing, but there it is. Republicans, with the exception of President Donald Trump, now push mask wearing. Shame on them. Let me explain. I'm okay if you believe in masks and you want to push for, hey, you really, 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 really should wear them. They're important. I believe in them. That's your right to do so. It's not your right to try to use the force of law. Well, you say, Sam, come on, we have to. If there's 100 people in a room and the guy not wearing the mask puts everybody at risk. You know, that's true with just about anything. Driving a car. It's societally true with the cold, the flu. Oh, Sam, but those aren't as deadly. Prove it. You know what? These death rate numbers and these, quote, case rate numbers and these hospital rate numbers are completely, absolutely bogus. Absolutely bogus. You don't believe me? We can debate the details. But, man, the numbers cannot be trusted at all. Now they're admitting that hundreds of people have to be taken off the rolls because they didn't die because of the corona. We're realizing that people in the hospital oftentimes aren't even there because of the corona. They may or may not have corona. Some people are living fine with the corona. Other people are dying. Other people are dying not because of the corona. Our numbers are all over the map and rarely even factual. In fact, it's so confusing. The CDC and other government agencies have multiple forms of numbers. Those who are, what, quote, tested positive versus those who they think might have versus the, you know, what? Multiple death counts based on how you count the numbers is just disaster. Mike Pence helped launch Endurance pickup in Lordstown, Ohio. We talked about a record high jump in consumer spending despite income decline. We talked about Nike reporting a $799 million loss. Wow. 46% plunge in North American sales, for instance. We talked about Democrats attack Jim Jordan for not wearing a mask during hearings while they're not wearing masks themselves. This is insane. Joe Biden, quote, "I will force Americans to wear masks." Who does he think he is? Second hour, we had on Becky Akers with us, well-known author of two books, Hailstorm, about Nathan Hale and Benedict Arnold. Well, it's called Abducting Arnold, the other side of the Benedict Arnold story. Anyway, Becky Akers, search for them by name. Becky Akers and Hailstorm. Becky Akers and Abducting Arnold. Anyway, we talked about LeBron James gets $100 million in investment to build his own media empire. Wow, imagine LeBron's racist empire, folks. As Becky says, at least he suggests that he'll have an agenda. Religious schools can now get government funding. They say public funding. The courts double down in favor of that. I think that spells disaster. I know it means more school choice, which is good, but you know what? What you don't want is the religious schools hooked on government money, eventually for the government to use strings attached, pull the rug out from under them, control what they teach. You don't want that, folks. Beware. Bill Gates, piece of work, I'll tell you that right now. Bill Gates says the U.S. is not even close to doing enough to fight the pandemic. Yeah, Bill, what would you do, my friend? What would you do? Yeah, set up contract tracing and trace every one of us. Force test and force vaccinate every one of us. Force quarantine every one of us. What would you do, Bill? Oh, build into your software forced tracking of everybody in the United States and around the world, even though it's against our laws and against our code of ethics in America? Your iPhone, they say, has a hidden map of everywhere you go and how to find it. Well, you can only find it based on the settings that you may or may not have made. But no doubt they're keeping track of every move you make via your phone. Make no mistake about that reality check. Could doomsday bunkers become the norm for the rich and famous? The answer is yes. Can they for the rest of us? No, we can't afford it. And the government, at least in the West, owns most of the land. So you can't even get a bug out place if you want to because you can't afford one. Land is too hard to get a hold of. Too expensive. Too controlled. Let's say I find 100 acres out in the middle of nowhere and I want to divide it into 5-acre lots and, you know, let 10 or 15 of us have a piece. Oh, no, county restrictions won't even let you do it based on, quote, government control zoning, right? New Jersey, mail-in ballots reportedly destroyed in a mail truck fire. I guess my vote wouldn't count if the fire occurred for me. I told you you can't trust the custody of the ballots, remember? California, quote, 23,000. I guess dead registered voters could get, what, cheat by mail ballots? Yeah, okay, there you go. Biden has a cancer initiative. I guess they spent nearly 2/3 of the donations on salaries alone. Wow. Can't trust old Joe and his team, can you? Catholic teacher got fired for criticizing Black Lives Matter movement. Conservatives need to be on the offensive, folks. I'll tell you that right now. This Black Lives Matter stuff is bogus, too. You say all lives matter, and now they shut you down. Swedish supermarket chain now to label the climate impact of products. That's dangerous to all get out, too. Who's going to decide those factors? Right? Who decides? Who's in control of the, quote, info or facts, huh? Faces of the conquerors. Trump's trip to Mount Rushmore draws fire. Stephen Groves of the piece, they're basically saying it's a race fest for racism for the Donald. It's insane, folks. I thought it was just to go, you know, see heroes. New York City Council slashes police budget by $1 billion as violent crime skyrockets. Ocasio-Cortez says that's not near enough. We got to flat out abolish. Yeah, Ocasio-Cortez, and I think that AOC needs to not have her protection. Her armed guards around her. Let her run around free. These people who are really for defunding the police in powerful positions all have their own detail security, don't they? So they don't know what it's like at all, or they have no respect at all for the rest of us, folks. Firing all the cops, defunding all the police is the most insane thing I've ever heard in my life. Yes, do they need de-escalation training? Without a doubt. Yes, could we divert some money to other programs that might make some sense to take the weight off the police, since the police have become a catch-all for every need we have? Yes, there's some validity to those points. But defunding isn't the answer. Focusing on the proper role of constitutional government, teaching the people to believe in God, family, and country, teaching people to respect life, liberty, and property is the start of the solution. Maybe repenting and turning to God is the primary focus answer we should talk about. But no, they don't mention a word about it. All right, that's a recap of the broadcast that took place yesterday. Still available at lovingliberty.net. Spread the word. News the networks refuse to use today starts now. Kurt Crosby's with me. Welcome, sir.
Buenos dias and greetings and salutations. Howdy, howdy, howdy. Thank you, Sam.
You're very welcome. Two quick stories and then Brian. First one I want you to respond to, Kurt. Walmart will discontinue the sale of products emblazoned with the All Lives Matter phrase. Can't say All Lives Matter. It's offensive to blacks, and they're shutting it down, sir. Black Lives Matter continues unabated. Your response?
I'll bet it wouldn't be offensive to, you know, Sheriff David A. Clark, Walter Williams, Star Parker.
You mean black
so
people
others,
that think conservative are like we do and believe in the Constitution and believe in God, family, and country? Those guys?
That's exactly right.
Ben well, that's
Carson,
right.
You know, and going down the list.
Mike Pence doubles down and will not say Black Lives Matter. He says All Lives Matter, and he says it's fundamentally important to understand that principle. That's Founding Father-esque. Boy, do I agree with Mike Pence. Hang tight. Quick pause. Brian Rust joining us in seconds. You are listening to the one and only Liberty Roundtable Live.
Okay, girls, about finished with your lesson on money?
Daddy, what is a buy-sell spread for gold coins?
Well, when you sell a gold coin to a coin shop that's worth, say, $1,200, you don't actually get $1,200. But don't worry, we're members of UPMA now, so we don't have to worry about that.
Daddy, what if somebody steals our gold?
We don't have any gold at the house. It's stored safely in the UPMA vault, securely and insured.
But the S&P 500 outperformed gold. Daddy, gold is a bad investment.
Some people do think of it that way, but actually, gold is money. And as members of the United Precious Metals Association, we can use our gold at any store, just like a credit card. Or I can ask them to drop it right into Mommy and Daddy's bank account, because we're a UPMA member family.
Find out more at upma.org. That's upma.org.
So, you love talk radio, then you'll love TalkStreamLive.com. TalkStream Live is always on, 24-7, with the best streaming talk shows. Find your favorite talkers and discover some new ones. It's free, readily available online or on mobile with any smartphone or tablet. Finding your favorite talk shows all in one place has gotten a whole lot easier. Just go to TalkStreamLive.com. Be sure to download the free apps from Google Play or the iTunes App Store.
Talk Right, the conservative app offered by TalkStream Live that caters exclusively to the conservative talk radio community. Here you'll see only talk shows and podcasts from the conservative right, all the big broadcast names and online digital shows in one place. Talk Right makes it easy to find all your favorite conservative talkers with all the upscale features you come to expect from TalkStream Live. Keep up with the fast-paced political world. Download Talk Right today from Google Play or the App Store.
All right, he's not the founder, ladies and gentlemen. Why? Because it's a multi-generational business. That's why. Rust Coin and Gift has been around for over 50 years, working to educate customers about precious metals. RustCoinandGift.com. He may not be the founder because it's multi-generational. You got to love multi-generational businesses in America. That is the genius of America, I might add. But he is in charge. Welcome back, sir.
Hey, thanks for having me on. Glad to be with you guys.
All right, we're ready for a quick gold update.
Let's see, gold is 1765.
Even?
Yep.
1765 for gold. Silver?
Silver is 1793.
Wow. All right. Kurt's on the road again. He wants rhodium.
7,800.
What do you think of that, Kurt?
Yeah, I'll have to go grab a whole bunch of rhodium, you know. I mean, yeah, it's...
All right. Well, there's not a whole lot of change, huh?
It jumped over $18 silver's been kind of bouncing that. Gold was over 18, pushing the 1800 mark as well. So we see these dips as they throw out some of the forecasts, and you know, like dollars showing a little bit of strength or these kind of things that are thrown out there, which is kind of a joke actually. So
all right, Walmart says they're going to discontinue any product that has All Lives Matter on it. Now, shame on them, though. They're going to continue Black Lives Matter. They say that All Lives Matter is offensive. It's not that all lives don't matter. It's just that it ignores the plight that the blacks have been in for quite some time, the bigotry, the racism, the hatred. And to say that kind of minimizes their reality. See, I don't believe that, Brian. I'm not trying to dismiss anybody's struggles, whether it be the African Americans, whether it be the Native Americans, whether it be the members of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, the only group in American history that has had an extermination order against them, shoot on sight, all men, women, and children, etc., drive them flat out of the country. That never happened to the blacks or the Indians. They were never driven out of the country, completely driven out in the middle of winter. So, you know, a lot of groups have been wronged, and you know what? I'm not happy about the mistakes America's made, but I'm also saying let's keep it firmly in mind so we never repeat it, number one. But number two, when are we going to realize that's yesterday's mistakes? And what we want to do is go forward in solidarity today, understanding that we're all God's children. All lives matter, don't they? That doesn't minimize anybody or anything, does it?
No, you're exactly right, Sam. It's, you know, the problem is I'm not really sure that's their agenda, as far as they just want to kind of cause havoc, and we've got an election, you know, coming up here and all that. But if all black lives matter, then why aren't they trying to create some kind of a overcoming the problems that we see in Chicago and a lot of other countries, you know, where these, you know, a lot of these young black, you know, African-American people don't have a chance. They don't have a father, a single parent home. They live in poverty. I mean, it's, you know, if they really believe that, then I think they try to, you know, to make changes where changes need to be made.
All right.
You know, Brian's so right on that. I mean, you hear about some of those inner city schools where you got, like, if I remember right, Baltimore, you got 13 high schools and not a single one of them have anybody proficient in math. I mean, anyone proficient? I mean, it's just, and they're spending like, you know, 15 grand a kid.
Who
you
is?
Know, it's just, well, the government schools, you know, and yet they just don't get the results, and yet we just keep dumping money into those places. Man, it's just crazy.
It is crazy. That's that's no doubt, and it's going to get much worse. I hate to admit or acknowledge, but there you have it. Let me give you some examples. Looks like Netflix CEO Reed Hastings and his wife Patty Quillen are donating $120 million towards student scholarships at historically black colleges and universities. Now, I don't know what a black university is. I thought we believe in education for everybody. I don't think we believe in modern day intentional segregation. I don't have a problem with blacks creating their own college. But I also say that if that's going to happen, the Latinos can have theirs and white people can have theirs. But no, that would back into racism in a hurry. But again, $120 million to just black institutions. Yeah, they're going to give $40 million to each of three. The United, quote, Negro College Fund. I thought you weren't allowed to say the N-word anymore. Sure. Stillman College and Morehouse College. Those are the three getting the funds, Brian. Do you want to respond to this one?
Well, you know, I think, you know, I'm not opposed to the, you know, the funds that are being given there. I mean, if it can make a difference in those lives, but I think you mentioned the fact about, you know, all lives. I mean, other people that are donating to other causes, perhaps not the black cause, but maybe the whites or Hispanic or whatever it may be. All these could be great causes. We don't need to tear down the good and just thrive on the bad. I think, you know, anytime we can make a difference, I think we, you know.
Yeah, I'm like you. I agree. I don't have any problem with them donating to these black colleges. And I don't have any problem with black colleges. And I don't have any problem with saying these people need special care and help and love. And I'm going to use my own personal money, Reed Hastings and his wife, saying, you know, I want to do this with my money. I have no problem with that whatsoever. As long as as long as we don't play games. So if I'm white and I give money to a white college, first off, can they even exist, a white college? Secondly, what if I gave my money to that? Am I just a white supremacist now? Okay, so the problem that I have with it is this double standard manipulation we're playing here. If we really are honest and we say, hey, wherever Sam thinks his money is best served, let him do it. Good on him for doing it. Thank you, sir. No matter what group or whatever it is, then I'm all cool with that. But the double-edged sword, the game playing, is the problem I have. What if Reed gave his money and started a white college? Would they be cool with that? If they would, and that's where he really believes his money is, hey, there's a lot of poverty in white communities too now. Let's be clear. If they're fine with whatever we do as philanthropists, then I'm okay with it. But it seems like certain philanthropy is okay. You're a hero. Other philanthropy, you're a flat-out bigot. That's my problem, Brian.
That's right, and I agree 100%. It's a two-edged, you know, double standard here that they're really pushing, and that's why I'm sure I don't agree with their agenda, because their agenda's flawed. You know, it's not just about Black Lives Matter. They want to destroy just about everything. You know, they're creating havoc and protest they're bringing in. I mean, just here in Provo, just down the street, here a guy was shot trying to get through
So the nation knows what he's talking about, in Provo there was some rioting and protesting, and a man was in an SUV and he flat out got shot and killed right on the spot in Provo, Utah, one of the most conservative states and one of the most conservative cities in the nation now, and he got arrested and everything else. But this is what we're talking about. See, I think Reed Hastings and the discussion shouldn't be black and white, shouldn't be racial divisions. We could say, listen, when God's children are in poverty, it's a sad scenario, and therefore we're going to use this money to help those in poverty. And if it turns out that more black people get help than white people, it's because more of them are in poverty. We understand we're colorblind here, and what we're going to do is try to give them a leg up. We're going to try to give them a hand up, and we're going to see if we can't help some of these people help themselves and the next generations not have a future of poverty. And so I look at really poverty as more of the key. Anybody in poverty could use the help, right?
Right. And I think working together, that's the thing. I think what happens with some of these protests and things are going on, it invokes fear in a lot of people, so they don't want to. They don't want to come out and try to stand for something because they're fearful, and that's the message they're kind of pushing is we're gonna put fear in your heart so that you will have to agree with what we want to accomplish. And instead of going hand in hand together, and we're working across the country, and we're all Americans working together for the betterment of good. I mean, if we could all do that and not have fear in our hearts, I think we could do a lot more good and push. But you look at the top is all about, you know, commotion and just, you know, fighting amongst themselves. And we're not going to allow, you know, the president to do anything. We're not working, you know, just it's this bickering and fighting, which, you know, down the chain, here it is. And so I think that we need to, come together. But it's awful hard. I think these protests and stuff are putting fear in a lot of people, and they're scared to come out and maybe even do anything about it.
Yeah, and that's why I like looking at poverty and saying, hey, those that are down on their luck, those that don't have a chance at a great life, those who don't have opportunity, let's provide opportunity for them, regardless of race.
Right.
But, of course, I'm a bigot for even suggesting such. I deny the plight of those that are really suffering, and I just have a don't-care attitude, don't I? See, yeah, this is the stuff that they say, and I'm just saying, look, anybody who's struggling, I want to work on helping.
Yeah. No, you're right.
And you could say, well, hey, some of their struggling is their own fault. I know, but I look at it more biblically than that. I don't just go, you don't have need of my help. You're the one that's the bad guy. I just say, look, I'm going to do my part to help and to clothe the naked and feed the hungry. And I'm not going to judge them. I'm just going to do my part, and I'm going to leave the rest to the hands of the Almighty. But those who are suffering from lack of opportunity or funding, I want to help. Kurt wants to talk about Target in seconds on your radio.
Exposing corruption, informing citizens, pursuing liberty. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
You USA Radio News with Chris Barnes.
CIA Director Gina Haspel and other intelligence officials are scheduled to brief a bipartisan group of lawmakers today about alleged Russian bounties placed on the heads of U.S. troops serving in Afghanistan. The White House has said that the reports are uncorroborated and did not rise to the level that the president needed to be briefed on them. Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell and House Speaker Nancy Pelosi and others are expected to be at that briefing today. The U.S. is coming off a staggeringly bad day when it comes to new coronavirus cases. Over 52,000 new cases of COVID-19 reported yesterday. The first time ever more than 50,000 cases were reported in the United States in a single day. And you're listening to USA Radio News.
Balance of nature changing the world, one life at a time.
I have seen a change in how I feel. I do feel better. I actually feel like doing stuff, if that makes any sense. It's just a better feeling just throughout my whole body.
Right now, Balance of Nature is offering free shipping and 35% off on any new preferred order. Go to balanceofnature.com today and use discount code USA.
Now you can fly anywhere in the world and pay discount prices on your airline tickets. Book a flight today to London, Paris, Madrid, or anywhere else you want to go. And pay a lot less guaranteed. Call the International Travel Department right now at Low Cost Airlines.
800-215-5141. 800-215-5141. That's 800-215-5141.
A huge trade deal with America's neighbors is now in effect, as we hear from USA Radio's Wendy King.
The United States-Mexico-Canada agreement has gone into effect, rewriting the terms of trade between the three countries. President Trump signed the agreement in January to replace the North American Free Trade Agreement of 1994, with the White House declaring that the deal will result in stronger economic growth with more jobs for American workers and fairer trade in the country.
Authorities in Iowa say multiple police officers were assaulted during a protest at the state's capital in Des Moines yesterday. Police say protesters followed them into the parking lot of the capital yesterday as they were arresting three people for allegedly damaging a police squad car. They claim that the protesters then attacked that group of officers, police not releasing any other details. And this is USA Radio News.
All right, Brian Rust, RustQuinnGift.com with us. So, Brian, it looks like Target, they're going to raise all the minimum wage to $15 an hour starting July the 5th. And I don't have any problem with individuals and or businesses raising the rate they pay people. I do have a problem with some of the states across the country mandating minimum wages that ever increase. I think it's a problem in and of itself. That's another discussion. One is freedom of choice and business and agency and the free market working, doing its best to attract workers. The other one is government mandates. And so, you know what? Good for Target if they're doing it on their own and not government-backed or forced or whatever else. And I do think increased wages are a good thing. We just need to be careful of how it's done. Brian, do you want to respond to that?
Yeah, I think you're right. You know, they talked about it here a year or so two ago about raising every minimum wage to that. And now, you know, various companies are kind of buying into that. But I think, you know, you look at your own, you know, for me, for instance, my, you know, business and what I can pay. And you know, I'm all about trying to bless those that work for me and help support and staying to where I can, you know, make my payments and that. And, you know, and I don't know. You know, like you say, you're right. It can be a good thing to pay, you know, more wage and so on. I just think that we need to be, you know, to force all the companies because they're not all the same and some don't have that bottom line like maybe perhaps Target does. Or, so, you know, that's my thought.
Kurt?
Well, you know, if you're talking about the whole minimum wage thing, I'm thinking that $100 should be a start.
Well, you know what we're talking about, right?
Well, Yeah, I know that Walmart or Target is going to raise theirs, right?
Yes. Yeah, but I don't think it's the minimum wage that's causing them to do that.
Yeah, it's they're going to do that themselves, but the president's also signaled that he's kind of up for moving up the minimum wage. I think they ought to just eliminate it, because when do we have the right as government to force people to, you know, pay a certain wage? I'd like to see Target, or just like any other company, Brian's included, you know, doing what they can to support their workers. You know, whether they want to do a little or a lot, that's between them and their workers. So it's good, at least a good sign in the economy that people have money to spend. It sure would be nice if it was honest money.
Wow. Amen to that reality check, huh, Brian?
Hey, why don't we go to the government and see if they can't? Why don't we mandate the fact that we want a balanced budget and get off the, you know, the endless spending and you know, maybe start at the top.
Yeah, the problem is we already have that. See, people want to put a balanced budget amendment in place and try to create another law. But we already have laws on the books. Here's the laws on the books just right now, so you know. Every state by law has to balance their own budget. And right now, the federal government was supposed to be chained down with the Constitution, where they would only use constitutional currency, gold and silver. And those very laws in place would stop them from spending into oblivion. They would have balanced budgets. There would be a limit on the amount of money that was available, because it's tied to honest money at all levels, and then the states are required to balance their budgets. There was never an intention for the federal government to give the states any money at all. In fact, it was just the opposite. The creator is not above the creation, if you will. And right. So the states right. were supposed to make sure the federal government lived on a very slim budget, designed to carry out the line items in the supreme law of the land. And honest money was supposed to keep everybody in check. But the second we jettisoned constitutional currency, created a private banking cartel of thugs and fake money, and then we basically said, hey, let's let the states receive money from the feds, then let's let the feds just become sugar daddy. The states can always say, well, I balanced my budget with a big old siphon in from the federal government. That was never intended. But as long as you allow that to occur, it doesn't matter if you create a balanced budget amendment. They'll just lift the debt ceiling. Or they'll just say, yeah, well, we have a balanced budget amendment. True, but we need time to balance it. It might take a 20-year plan, and then it'll never get done. And the 20-year plan will slide back. And then we're doing our best, but by golly, COVID hit. And because of the coronavirus, we can't get it done. They'll just go round and around and around until you just want to slap people. Because it's just like, are you kidding me right now? Right, Ryan?
That's exactly right. You're right on. Let's get back to the guys that the founding fathers put in place and start taking this country back to where it needs to be. Let's put God at the front and start moving forward. You're right.
If we go back to honest money, what happens to coin dealers, Brian? I got the answer, but I want to know what you think on this.
Well, that's a good question. I think we have a business that, you know, provide, you know, there's people that collect and there's hobby involved where they're collecting, you know, putting together sets and, you know, and realistically, I look at it, you know, growing up in the whole business is one of the neat things that I saw in this business is the fact of a grandfather and his grandson and his son actually in with generations can go in and have an enjoyable hobby that they can work on together. And it was something I see, and I still see a little bit of that, but it's kind of a dying, you know, kind of a dying thing. But that's the part of the business that I thought was really cool. The families involved in each other, and they kind of spent time with each other and collecting their little sets. And it has some value, you know, creating some value and teaching their kids value. And so...
You have a thought on this, Kurt? I do. I have several thoughts on this. But what happened to the coin dealers if we do go back to honest money? I think they have a tremendous role. I can get into that in a second, but Kurt, do you want to respond?
Well, it just seems like Brian says, there'd be more and more people realizing that there is such a thing as silver and gold, and, you know, paper money's not really where it's at. They'd be like, man, I could get some of that, or I could do some of this. I could, you know, collecting. People collect things all the time, and why not collect honest money?
Yeah, so I think there's several things. I think the numismatic business would take off big time. Coin collections, as Brian said, et cetera. And I think what you would do is you would create stability and consistency in the marketplace for some of those collections. Whereas right now, when gold and silver bounces all over Egypt based on fake money, then these collector's coins, it's very hard to even determine value. You got to get appraisals on those things. It's very subjective. I think that it would stabilize big time as a result of that, and you could count on those collections 10 times more. Secondly, I think that the coin dealers could do a lot of prep work because, again, the idea would be it's not just the government that creates or finds or whatever you want to say, ores, mines, gold and silver. Okay, and so let's say that I mined a bunch of silver. I might go to a Brian Rust and have him help me kind of melt it down and do all the work that it takes to get it ready, and then I might ship it to the government, the Treasury, to make sure that there's honest weights and measures. But there's a lot of work that could be done in the preparation of that and the consistency of that. It would also mean that coins, as long as they had the government stamp of stability on them, or consistency, if you will, regulating the weights and measures, which is a just proper rule of the Constitution, folks like Brian Rust and others could become well-known. I could have the Rust coin. But yet it at the same time had government approval on it because Brian Rust did a lot of the work to make it happen. And thus you would get these experts with stability in the business. So I think that's a great role they could play. I also think they could help people transition money. Let's say I had massive bars of silver, but I needed coins to do something. I could go to Brian and he could make an exchange for me. And there's a lot of roles that could be played, Brian.
Yeah, I think there are a lot of roles. But, you know, you've got history involved. I think there's things that you could, you know, plus your kids could be going through change. Like they, you know, you go back a number of years, they could go through change and trying to build their sets through circulating coinage that was, you know, that still has some value, some silver and that. They're using it and pulling it and filling their books and trying to find that, you know, kind of a treasure hunt per se. You know, it's hard nowadays to find anything, you know, real rare out of our change. And so that would create another state. But, yeah, I think there's a lot of avenues that we could play with there. Sure.
I also think there's a lot of work that could be done to take coins that would be memorabilia coins. I don't know if you know that. I think there's a Donald Trump coin out there.
Yeah.
I want to make an All Lives Matter coin.
That's right. That's exactly right.
I think there's a lot of work that could be done there, and it may not be, quote, government currency, but yet it would still have that real value. It's almost turning coin dealers into kind of a coin specialty jewelry dealers in a way, right?
Yeah, you could. There's that where you could create dies and be making. We get people at times that want to come in and make a die for their family reunion, and they want to make 200 silver pieces for this family reunion. So they'll create a die and make some coins, and, you know, so, yeah.
All right.
Things that can be done.
There you have it, ladies and gentlemen. There's a lot of things that could be done. Senator Rand Paul's in the news, and he's been criticizing Dr. Fauci quite a bit. And he's saying to Fauci in front of a Senate panel, it's a fatal conceit to believe any one person or small group of people can just set the direction of our country as if they know everything. Do they have the knowledge to direct an economy or dictate the outcome? We'll get into that in a moment. Brian, thank you so much, sir. We know you got to fly early. Godspeed, brother.
Hey, thank you much. You guys are doing awesome.
RustCoinAndGift.com. That's RustCoinAndGift.com. You want an honest person in the coin business? You got it. RustCoinAndGift.com. Right, Rand Paul's comments and more coming up. Sam and Kurt breaking it down just for you on your radio.
Do we reflect about our future and where we as a culture are moving? Do we keep our trust in our jobs, homes, money, life necessities, investments, stock markets? Do we believe that our 401ks or other retirements will always be there and that the current economic order will recover? Is the economy going to recover and life return to normal? It Ain't Gonna Happen by a friend of Medjugorje. Whether you are poor, middle class, or rich, It Ain't Gonna Happen, a book of astounding revelations about the present economic order and where we are heading. It Ain't Gonna Happen by a friend of Medjugorje. To order, visit Medj.com, spelled MEJ.com, or call Caritas in the U.S., 205-672-2000. 205-672-2000.
Why don't we say to the government writ large that they have to spend a little bit less? Anybody ever had less money this year than you had last? Anybody ever having a 1% pay cut? You deal with it. That's what government needs, a 1% pay cut. If you take a 1% pay cut across the board, you have more than enough money to actually pay for the disaster relief. But nobody's going to do that because they're fiscally irresponsible. Who are they? Republicans. Who are they? Democrats. Who are they? Virtually the whole body is careless and reckless with your money. So the money will not be offset by cuts anywhere. The money will be added to the debt, and there will be a day of reckoning. What's the day of reckoning? The day of reckoning may well be the collapse of the stock market. The day of reckoning may be the collapse of the dollar. When it comes, I can't tell you exactly, but I can tell you it has happened repeatedly in history when countries ruin their currency.
Yeah, so in a Senate panel discussion, if you will, Rand Paul really getting after Dr. Fauci. Senator Rand Paul criticized Dr. Fauci during his testimony in front of a Senate panel. He says it's a fatal conceit to believe any one person or small group of people have the knowledge necessary to direct an economy or dictate public health behavior. I think government health experts during this pandemic need to show caution in their prognostications. I think Rand Paul's really right on this, and I hoped we had time for Brian to chime in on this because it's economic related, Kurt, but I really think this is critical, though, because, again, that's what the founders warned about. The founders didn't want one place to create money. The founders wanted an organization like the government, the federal government, to say, let's make sure the weights and measures are consistent, and let's make sure we only use this currency, constitutional money, gold and silver, honest money, honest weights and measures, as the Bible puts it. Okay, but the idea was that a bunch of people could, you know, create their own outcomes based on the free markets, based on there wasn't only one source of money, based on, okay, and the list goes on and on. And I bring this up because I think Rand Paul is exactly right. And Fauci and just a few people have literally controlled everything we do, say, and think, and to mask or not to mask, it goes on and on. To open a business, not to open a business. We're shutting your business down because you didn't follow guidelines, and on and on and on. They've literally, between President Trump and Fauci, they've literally shut down our government completely. And Rand Paul's going, hey, man, that's, I like the words he uses because they're really bold, unique words. It's a fatal conceit. No doubt, it's fatal. And no doubt the conceit is that you think you know everything. And you need to be very cautious or have caution in your prognostications. In other words, in your decision-making and in your theories and opinions and articulating of what you believe the problem is and what you demand the fix should be. Rand Paul really delivers it. He hits it out of the park on this one, in my opinion, Kurt.
Well, you know, I read some of the things about the Rand Paul Fauci deal. One of the things I was kind of pleased with is Senator Paul basically says we need, you know, more optimism. You know, of course, the thing that they're not really talking about, Sam, is the whole he who owns the media makes the rules. You know, you see this headline that says CNN's got the best ratings they've had for years. If it bleeds, it leads. In other words, when there's these terrible headlines and CNN, like any other ones that want to amp up their ratings, they can push those things even besides the fact that they want to push their agenda there, if their agenda coincides with, you know, this terror kind of idea, then they're not going to push more optimism like Rand Paul urged Fauci to do.
There you have it. And Rand Paul's also saying we need to get back to school. We need to get back to life. We need to get back to our businesses. And, you know, I think he's really right on all this, folks. I get that there's a pandemic, and I get that people are scared, and I get. But at what point is it legitimate fear, legitimate need, legitimate appropriate shutting down versus when are they going too far? When are they using this to prevent President Trump from speaking directly to the people via his rallies, which was the key to his success last election? When does it become, you know what, they're shutting down my business saying that it's not essential? Well, dang it, it's essential to my family. It's essential for the people that depend on me. Glad that I can do my radio show without having coronavirus distancing problems. But if I didn't, they'd shut down my business and say it mattereth not, Sam. But at what point does it matter? At what point does it become essential? At what point do we say, wait a minute? And I think the answer is the free market. And I agree with this broad idea that, you know what? You shouldn't be able to just shut this down, Fauci. You're not an economist at all. And then Fauci kind of responded back and said, well, I'm not saying that people can't this and that and that. You know what? You are. All right. A couple of people got elected. Kurt wants to tell you about their huge stories. Kurt?
Well, you know, as we look for the pieces of good news that are available, it's kind of tough to find them, ladies and gentlemen, really. But there's a lady named Boebert, B-O-E-B-E-R-T. And the headline from Dale Schrull says, Boebert pulls off stunning upset. He says it was election day and Lauren Boebert was packing. She's 33 years old. They call her an upstart politician. She's packing with a huge smile. And she was packing boundless energy and bottomless confidence. And, of course, she was packing her trusty Glock 26 on her right hip. As early results were announced, they say screams, cheers, and shouts rocked the warehouse. And they had a party. Why was this? Well, she was a candidate in the Republican district, the 3rd congressional district there in Colorado, that has to do with... Well, you know, a bunch of folks outside of the main big cities. And so these people were serious about issues. The guy she was going against is this guy, Scott Tipton. He's been in there for quite a few years. I wouldn't really call him a Republican insider, but he's certainly more of an insider than her. This is the same lady who came to, I guess you could say, got a little notoriety because she owns a restaurant. It's in Rifle, Colorado, and the restaurant's called, I'm trying to find that little part here, but it's basically a place, Shooter's Restaurant is what it's called. And she and the waitresses there all wear guns on their hips, and you know, Sam, we haven't heard of any shootings going on at Shooter's Grill in Rifle, Colorado. And, you know, she's even defied the governor. And when they told her to shut down the place, she didn't. But anyway, the voters there have elected her over the insider Republican. Her area covers 52,000 square miles. Between Grand Junction and Pueblo and down into Cortez and Steamboat Springs. The other guy had gotten elected in 2010, so he's been there, you know, I guess 10 years basically it'll be. And now she hopes to be elected. She's got to go up against the Democrat. The president, by the way, they kind of want to say that he was for the other guy. I think he had given the other guy his stamp of approval because he's an insider or already a Republican elected official. And yet this lady was a big supporter of the president, and she got a nice call from the president saying, good job. So anyway, those are the tidbits that I pulled out of it that I thought were interesting. I mean, imagine a lady that's wearing a gun on her hip. I mean, I don't think Joe Biden's going to pick one of those. Do you, Sam?
Not hardly. I'll tell you what I do think, though, Kurt. I like this Lauren Boebert story because it says she pulls off stunning upset. And they say, there's a couple of things that I noticed. They say with her 100-watt smile, she clearly demonstrated that she could go toe-to-toe with the five-term Congressman Tipton. And I find that fascinating. This is where a lot of the, conservatives or whatever you want to say, patriots are like, oh, we can't win anything. Put a fork in it. We're done. Not if you ask Lauren, ladies and gentlemen. It isn't true, right? And then she says,
that's right.
Then she says some interesting things in the article that I really want to focus on. One of them, she says this, quote, I knew that I'd be outspent, and I'll probably get outspent in the fall, but I'm a mom with four boys, ages 15, 12, 10, and 7, and let's see. Oh, so I know how to work on a tight budget. I get it, she says, and then she finishes, I'm a restaurant owner, and I, you know what, have a very tight business to run, and so I know how to, be very careful with cash, basically, is her point here. And then she finishes by saying this, I believe the House of Representatives was intended by our founding fathers to be, quote, citizen-led, not to be led by career politicians, she says. Now, Boebert, by the way, is the owner of Shooters, Grill and Rifle, which has become widely known for its area, the waitress staff or whatever you want to call it. She said, I joined this race because thousands of Americans just like me are fed up with politics. Anyway, Tipton's campaign already conceded the race, Kurt. So to those of you who think that we can't win, I don't know how to respond except to say the only time we can't win for sure is when we don't try, when we think it's already done. The only time you don't get the date with a girl for sure is if you never ask her out, is the point. You ask her out and you go, wait a minute. She said, did she really say yes? All right. And then pretty soon you go, my gosh, she actually married me. Kind of a discussion. And I'm just saying this is really, really important to understand, folks. When we get involved, good things happen, ladies and gentlemen. Now, Tipton becomes the fifth House incumbent to lose. This is huge, Kurt.
Well, and one more thing to throw in here, Sam. You really hit some good points. I'm glad you got those. At the latest report, she had spent $133,000 while her incumbent
Tipton.
Opponent had raised more than $1.1 million. So he's got almost
so she's 10 on a tenth
times
of the budget.
As much money. That's right.
See, that's incredible.
And
that, it shows that you got to have a few things. You got to have, one, a serious desire. Two, you got to have enough foot soldiers. And three, you got to have enough money. Now, enough money doesn't mean as much as the other guy, but enough money does mean, you got to have enough to do the job. Otherwise, you just can't get the word out. But if you have a decent amount of money and foot soldiers, and you're good at public speaking, and you've got your act together in terms of what you intend to do while you're there. Everybody knows she's a Second Amendment person. She ain't backing away. I'll tell you that right now. And they mocked her.
Well,
and said,
imagine her standing there with a gun on her hip. I mean, it's not like you have to bring it up that way.
Point. Yeah. In plain sight, as they say.
Yeah. What I want to know is how many other ladies. And maybe even gentlemen are going to follow her lead and start, packing.
And running for office. Packing a 100-watt smile and, right, keeping bare arms and standing for the sacred cause of liberty and taking on the deep swamp and the whole bit. Tell you this right now, we need more people like that. Anyway, we'll come back and talk about it more second hour. We got nothing but open road to cover all kinds of topics on your radio, ladies and gentlemen, and we're going to take advantage of it. What do you call this radio program, Kurt? The Autobahn? All right.
Okay.
Hard-hitting news that even Kurt can drive on the Autobahn, ladies and gentlemen. He can put the pedal to the metal. We're going to do just that in seconds. Hour one in the can, hour two coming up for Sam and Kurt and Brian Rust. RustQuinnGift.com. We declare this nation shall endure. LovingLiberty.net. God save the Republic of the United States of America.